Okay, I have a really important question to ask you, my listeners. How much do you love Oracle? If you're a fan of Big Red, and by the way, I'm going to start calling them Big Red from now on, this episode is going to make you so happy. Oracle bought a few companies last week, and they managed, with all of their baiting, they managed to actually get Amazon to respond to all of the trash talking. So this week, another Oracle-centric episode. I'm Joey Lombardi. And this is SourceCast, episode 68. Before we get to our main story, let's review the acquisitions that have taken place over the last 7 days. VMware has purchased monitoring company Wavefront. This acquisition lets VMware leapfrog, I'm using air quotes, leapfrog, into application management of next-generation modern applications. And that's according to VMware Senior Vice President AJ Singh. And apparently by air quotes modern applications, Mr. Singh is referring to applications in containers. Of course, terms were not disclosed, but apparently the company was worth tens of millions of dollars. And it is rumored that VMware may have spent as much as $100 million on the company. Moving on, Oracle purchased a company called Werker, W-E-R-C-K-E-R, and that's a Dutch company that automates code testing and deployment. Werker is another container-centric platform that helps companies and developers automate the development of applications and microservices. One of the benefits of Werker is its ability to integrate with Docker containers, and apparently that is a major differentiator. Oracle picked up another company named Moat, which is an ad measurement company. Moat helps advertisers and publishers measure whether people see and interact with online ads. This company was seemingly doing well in funding rounds. It raised over $50 million last year, and the company in total raised over $67 million from investors, including SV Angel, Mayfield Fund, and Insight Venture Partners. This marketing acquisition actually makes a little bit more sense than the container acquisition. Oracle actually has a well-respected suite of marketing tools. Most of those products came from another acquisition called Eloqua that they did a few years back. And Eloqua is well-regarded. It's a well-liked tool that's used on a global scale. So it would make sense for Oracle to have a complementary service where customers can actually see the effectiveness of the ad campaigns that they are creating with their Eloqua products. I'm not going to lie to you. The news was a little light last week. There are a couple of threads we could have gone after. Certainly IBM's 20th consecutive quarter of loss, but I'm going to let that one ferment for a little while. The Oracle comments in the press have stood out to me. They always stand out to me. I've said this before on the previous podcast about Oracle. For a company that's in transition, I'd like to see a little less swagger and a little more structure on how they are transforming their company and actually creating market-changing technology. Instead of doing those things, Oracle tends to fall back on the time-tested technique of talking trash. Say that 10 times fast. For the last few weeks, on the blog and on the podcast, I covered that Oracle CEO Mark Hurd made the comment that Oracle doesn't need to expand their data centers to the degree that Amazon and Google do because their technology, their software, is better optimized and can run better with less infrastructure. I will never present myself as an infrastructure expert, but those comments a few weeks ago struck me as odd. You're not going to see companies like Microsoft, Amazon, Google continue to expand, grow their data centers, add more nodes, and more states, and more countries if they can optimize software and avoid expense. You would not see the level of growth occurring for the margins that they're pulling in, unless it was absolutely necessary. So Oracle makes this comment that their software is more scalable, more cloud optimized than their competitors. And Amazon basically said not so fast. So the exact quote from Mark Hurd that everyone is reacting to came from an interview with Fortune magazine. Hurd said, and I quote, "We try not to get into this capital expenditure discussion. It's an interesting thesis that whomever has the most capex wins. If I have 2 times faster computers, I don't need as many data centers. If I can speed up the database, maybe I need 1/4 as many data centers. And I can go on and on about how tech drives this." One of Amazon Web Services vice presidents, James Hamilton, posted in his own personal blog, and I quote, "Of course, I don't believe that Oracle has, or ever will get, servers 2 times faster than the big 3 cloud performers." He went on to say, "I also would argue that speeding up the database isn't something Oracle is uniquely positioned to offer. And I'm going to keep going with Hamilton's quote, because he also goes on to say, one facility will have very serious and difficult to avoid full facility fault modes, like flood and to a lesser extent fire. It is absolutely necessary to have two independent facilities per region. It's actually much more efficient and easier to manage with three. So essentially, Hamilton is saying there's economies in scale, and there's actually benefits to growing out those data centers for a variety of reasons. Last February, Oracle co-CEO Mark Hurd also said that Amazon Web Services was old and proprietary and dismissed their database product Aurora as having small market share. Oracle CTO and founder Larry Ellison has made comments several times stating that Amazon's lead is over and Amazon is going to have serious competition moving forward. So this is standard rhetoric for Oracle. Whenever they're feeling threatened or whenever there's major competition, their leadership likes to comment in the press. They like to talk trash. And the reason why I continue to talk about it is, it's funny. Their leadership is animated. They express emotions. I don't think that they're right. And I personally think their comments are all sizzle and no steak. I don't often see the targets of Oracle's ire and negativity push back. And if they do, it's not nearly to the scale to Oracle's initial onslaught. But I do think it's telling that Amazon is pushing back. In addition to the VP commenting, AWS chief Andy Jassy also slammed Oracle, not for necessarily the cloud stuff, but their overall business model. In an interview with CNBC, Jassy said, and I quote, "People are very sensitive to being locked in, given the experience that they've had for the last 10 to 15 years. When you look at cloud, it's nothing like being locked into Oracle. Over the last few decades, it's been a lonely place for customers because of the high prices and vendor lock-in. Customers are sick of it." What Jassy's referring to is Oracle's reputation for being very difficult to manage software with. They have an industry reputation for making it difficult for customers to eliminate software as their businesses change. One book that I read basically calls out the mentality of Oracle. Once they have a locked-in revenue stream and they've booked it, they're going to make it impossible for you to cut it loose. So you have two tech giants, one older, one newer. They're both trying to survive and grow in an ever-changing IT market. Right now, in terms of cloud, Amazon is doing a phenomenal job. They're keeping up with their growth models. They're expanding their services. Customers are reacting positively to the offerings they are making available. Oracle, they're in transition. Everyone recognizes that they have an excellent database product. They're late to the game with cloud. I personally think that their lateness to the cloud market is going to be much more detrimental than the market is reflecting right now. It's not just a matter of being late to the party technologically. I think it's a cultural situation. This is a company that poo-pooed cloud a few years ago, and now they're saying they're going to be the biggest cloud company in the world. This is a company that a few months ago said that AI was a toy, but now they're quietly investing in AI technology for their services. This is a company that instead of promoting their products and telling customers why they should buy and continue to use Oracle products, they'd rather talk trash on their competitors. That doesn't make them a bad choice for database solutions or for cloud solutions. You just have to understand the culture that you're buying into, because that's part of it. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music is provided by Google. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.